兄弟姐妹们，大家好。
Sexy. Today we are going to be doing something fun.
今天我们要做一些比较有趣的事。
You know, when I rub my hands like this, this means that you're in for a thrilling ride.
当小卫牧师手这样搓的时候，你们今天将会非常的有趣。
Today we're going to learn how to quarrel.
今天我们将学习如何争吵。
So wives, maybe you can try this at home.
你们可以在家里试试看。
And husbands, if you think you can pull it off, you can try it too.
丈夫们，如果你认为你会成功的话，你也可以尝试。
First, look for something fairly different from your wardrobe.
首先找一样和你衣柜里的不大一样的东西。
It could be a top that you haven't worn for quite a while.
可能是一件你很久没有穿过的上衣。
Or maybe a pair of pants that you bought recently.
或者是你最近刚买的裤子。
Then remember, you must ask this in a very nonchalant manner.
然后你就若无其事的这样问。
Dear, do you think I look younger in this?
亲爱的，我穿的这件是不是比较年轻呢？
Now, if your spouse is anything like me,
如果你的配偶跟我是一样的，
they have been well honed over many years to avoid this kind of questions.
他们经过多年的磨练，知道要如何的回避这个问题。
So I suggest that maybe you catch them off guard while they are busy on the computer or watching TV.
我建议你们在他们用电脑的时候，在看电视的时候，给他们一个措手不及。
Then you ask nonchalantly, say, "Dear, do you think I look younger in this?"
然后你才若无其事的问，亲爱的，我穿着这个东西会不会比较年轻呢？
Then they will answer unsuspectingly, say, "Yeah, yes, dear, you look great."
然后他们会不知觉的、下意识的回答说：“你看起来太棒了。”
That's when you unleash the killer one-liner.
然后你就释放你的那个杀手锏。
What do you mean I look younger? Are you trying to say that I'm old now?
你说我比较年轻是看起来比较年轻是什么意思呢？难道我现在是很老吗
？Remember the show No Mercy?
你记得那部戏没有 No Mercy。
Until maybe you receive your Prada bag or your concert tickets or whatever it is that you want.
一直等到你收到你的那个 Prada 包包。
Or maybe just the simple satisfaction that you have added more color into your marriage life.
或者是那个从那个你在你婚姻的生活加上一点色彩那种简单的满足感。
Okay, actually I'm just kidding, as you know.
我只是在开玩笑。
Now what I'm trying to show is to highlight a very common phenomenon that happens in quarrels and debates.
我是在尝试凸显一个争吵里很普遍的现象。
In which an argument is intentionally extended in a negative towards a negative implication.
就是争吵里刻意去扩展到有负面的影响。
So as to form a counter argument.
从而形成一个反驳。
For example, you just meant to say look younger, but you purposely extended it. Are you trying to say I'm old now?
就比如说，你看起来比较年轻，但是会觉得说，你是不是在指我现在比较老
？That is obviously not the original intention of the original statement.
这肯定不是原来的意思。
But it can yes be implied and extended in a negative way to make the original statement appear false.
但它可以用一个非常负面的那个方式来暗示。使到原来的说法显得不正确。
Normally, of course, nobody talks in this way.
通常没有人会这么说。
But in a quarrel, if you think about it, it's a very common way to score a cheap point.
但在争吵中，这是一个很常见的口头上的胜利。
Unfortunately, Paul faced many of such quarrels in his missionary work.
不幸的，保罗在他的传教工作中遇到很多这种的争吵，
especially with the Jewish leaders.
特别是和犹太人领袖。
His modus operandi into every new mission field would be to first to visit the Jewish synagogue over local synagogue over there and to speak to the Jewish leaders.
他惯用的手法是在每个宣教的地方先到拜访当地的那个教会，并和当地的领袖教会领袖。对他们发言。
And only after maybe if they reject the lesson and so on, then he will move on to evangelize to the Gentiles.
过后他才传福音给那些外邦人。
But unfortunately, when he do this, it very often ends with quarrels or disagreements.
但不幸的，他通常是以那个争吵和分歧收场。
Last month, I mentioned such an episode from Acts chapter 28.
上个月我提到《使徒行传》二十八章里的一个例子。
I thought that maybe it would be helpful if we look at another incident that happened in Acts chapter 17.
也许我们可以看看另外一个例子，那就是在《使徒行传》第十七章。
Let me read to you the passage from Acts chapter 17. 看华语的你们可以看 PowerPoint. The brothers sent Paul and Silas off to Berea at once during the night. When they arrived, they went to the Jewish synagogue. These Jews were more open-minded than those in Thessalonica, for they eagerly received the message, examining the scriptures carefully every day to see if these things were so. Therefore, many of them believed, along with quite a few prominent Greek men and women. But when the Jews from Thessalonica heard that Paul had also proclaimed the word of God in Berea, they came there too, inciting and disturbing the crowds. Now, preceding this passage,
在这段经节之前
actually, Paul had a quarrel with the Jews at Thessalonica.
保罗已经和在那个帖撒罗尼迦的那犹太人有了争执。
And so, therefore, he went over to Berea.
所以他跑到那个比利亚去。
But fortunately, when he traveled to Berea, he found a more receptive audience.
幸运的是，他到那里的时候，他找到一个比较能接受他的那个群众。
Unfortunately, the Jews previously from Thessalonica, they would not let it go.
不幸的是，帖撒罗尼迦的犹太人不肯放过他。
And so they followed him to Berea to disturb his ministry over there.
他们跟着他到比利亚，要去打扰他的事工。
Now, out of all the, there are many such incidents that occurred and recorded in Acts.
在《使徒行传》里有许多这类的例子记载在《使徒行传》里。
Now, out of all these incidents, today I've intentionally highlighted this incident because a key word in the passage that we have read.
我故意凸显这些例子，就因为里面的一个关键词。
And the key word in this passage is open-minded.
那就是开明。
We were told that these Jews in Berea, they were more open-minded than those in Thessalonica, for they eagerly received this message, examining the scriptures to see what they were about.
我们被告知这些人比帖撒罗尼迦的那个犹太人更加的开明。
Sometimes this open-mindedness is the key difference in the effects of our evangelism and ministry.
有时候这个开明是我们传福音和事工的那个关键。
And without open-mindedness, that's when people will use all forms of word-twisting and slander in order to win the argument and just get their way.
没有这种开明，人们就会用各种形式来曲解那个文字，并以诽谤来赢得那个争论。
Now today's passage is from Romans chapter 3.
今天的经节是来自于罗马书第三章。
It is very interesting because it stems from a quarrel. It's about a quarrel.
它是非常有趣的，因为它从一个争吵开始。
And I thought that maybe what we can do is that we can just go through the verses slowly one by one to analyze this quarrel that the Paul and the Jews had.
我想我们可以慢慢的看这个经文来分析保罗和他们之间的那个争吵。
Maybe we can try this, you know, just looking at the different arguments in order that we can really appreciate how Paul argues his point.
我们从这个争吵里，我们可以更加的了解保罗那个他的论点。
Now the basic topic that we are going to address today, the topic of the debate is: Does the Jews have an advantage? What advantage does the Jew have?
我们今天要讨论的主题就是那个犹太人有什么长处
？Or what is the value of circumcision?
或者是行割礼有什么益处呢？
That means basically, you know, what's so special about being a Jew?
基本上就是身为一个犹太人有什么特别呢
？Now this is not an easy question to answer.
这不是一个容易回答的问题。
If it was easy to answer, then Romans would have been a very short letter.
如果是的话，罗马书将会是一封非常短的信。
But I think what Paul wants to first is to just state his official point very unequivocally.
保罗是想明确的说明他的那个立场。
And so first he gave an answer that is as plain as possible.
首先他尽量的简单的 给了他的答案。
So in verse chapter 3 verse 2 he says that yes there are many advantages.
是的，有很多的那个优长处。
And first of all, or maybe the highest of all, is that the Jews were entrusted with the oracles of God.
首先那个犹太人被赋予那个神的神谕。
As that, what that means is that the Jews have the law.
这就是说犹太人有那个律法。
And therefore, their main advantage is that they can know God's will through the actual written word.
他们的优势就是他们能够通过那个文字，知道上帝的旨意。
They can also know God's will through the recorded divine revelations that happen in their history.
他们可以通过上帝他们历史里的显现，知道上帝的旨意。
Now, if this question and answer session had just ended at this point,
如果这个问题解答这段时间就是到此为止的话，
then I guess the Jews will have no more disagreements with Paul.
那么犹太人呢，保罗就没有什么纷争了。
Of course, they will be very happy to say, yeah, yeah, of course, it's very advantageous to be a Jew.
他们会很乐意的认同，身为犹太人是有很多优势的。
But unfortunately, Paul's answer is actually a little more complicated than that.
但保罗的答案是没那么简单。
And so when Paul later phrased this same question in a slightly different way,
所以当保罗在稍后用另外一个方式来问这个问题的时候，
and so verse 9 he then asked the question, what then, are we better off as a Jew?
所以在第九节他问到，他们是什么方式比那犹太人更好。
This time Paul gave an answer that is the exact opposite.
这一次保罗给一个刚好相反的答案。
And he saidCertainly not. We are not better off at all. We have already charged that the Jews and the Greeks alike, we are all under sin. We are not better off.
因为我们已经证明犹太人和希利尼人都在罪恶之下。
So there is seemingly this contradiction that is happening here.
这里有看似矛盾的，有矛盾那个东西。
And the rationale for this seeming contradiction.Is that even though yes, it is wonderful, it's advantageous to know God's will.
这个矛盾的理由是，认识神的旨意是美好的。
But it is totally another matter if you want to count it as your righteousness.
但是如果你指望把它成为你的义的话，那是完全另外一回事。
Because Paul had stated earlier in Romans chapter 2 that it is not those who hear the law that is righteous before God.It is those who do the law that will be declared righteous.
保罗在较早前在罗马书第二章十三节说到，不是听律法的为义，乃是行律法的称义。
Now, sometimes when you have quarreled with the same bunch of people over the same things many times,
有时候你和同一批人吵同样的东西。
Sometimes you can already anticipate the likely objections that will come from them.
你可以预测到他们会提出来的反对的意见。
And so when you are writing a letter, it's very common to just state what is the likely response, and then you can present the counter arguments beforehand.
所以当你写信的时候，你会先说明那个所有可能的反应，然后再加以反驳。
This is like a preemptive strike against any possible challenges.
这就好像先发制人。
After many of these arguments over the years,
经过许多年的这些争论，
I suspect we can guess that Paul's opponents already know his very nuanced views about this Jewish advantage that they have with the law.
保罗的对手们可能已经清楚地知道保罗对犹太人律法有非常细致入微的看法。
And so therefore they can challenge Paul's so-called appreciation of the law.
所以他们可以挑战保罗对那个律法的认识。
And from other letters and Jewish letters and so on, there are those who might challenge and slander Paul as so-called anti-law, an anti-law, or we call it antinomian.
从其他的书信里我们也看到，他们有些人会挑战保罗的，并毁谤保罗为那个反律法的。
So when Paul say that, oh, he really appreciates the law, we have this advantage.
当保罗说到他非常了解这个律法，他们有这优势的时候，
You can already guess and speculate at their very dismissive reply.
你可以猜测他们那个不屑一顾的那个回答。
哎呦 please.
哎呦 please.
Don't believe Paul.
啊，不要相信保罗。
You really think he appreciates the law?
你认为他真正的了解那个律法吗
？Do you know that deep down inside he thinks that we Jews don't believe the law or that we cannot do it and obey it? Do you know that?
啊，你知道他内心深处认为我们犹太人不相信律法，我们不能够真正的遵守那个律法。
You know when he do that, what he is actually saying?
你知道其实是在说什么吗
？He's actually saying that God is being unfaithful. You know?
啊，他是说上帝不忠于。不忠于他们。
God is saying that God is being unfaithful to us because He is giving us a law that you know we will fail to obey.
因为上帝给了我们一个我们将不能遵守的律法。
Now Paul of course is not saying that.
当然保罗并不是这样说。
But you can imagine that as an extended implication of his original words, just for argument's sake.
你可以想象，但是从他原话里扩展出来的那个一个负面的那个暗示。只是他只是为了争吵而用。
Now this challenge from the Jews is quite clever.
啊，这个犹太人的挑战是相当聪明的。
Because it puts the onus of obeying the law with God.
因为他把遵守律法的这个责任加在上帝身上。
Since God is the one who gave the law,
既然上帝是那给律法的
，He has to make sure that the law works.
他就必须要确保那律法行得通。
Otherwise, his faithfulness will be called into question.
不然他的那个信实将受到质疑。
He is like a bad parent who purposely gives the children a broken toy.
他就像一个不好的父母，故意把坏的玩具给他孩子。
And so now Paul is cornered into a situation.
所以保罗现在被逼到一个情况。
Either first, he has to agree with the Jews and say that no, you're right. The law works just fine.
要么就承认那个律法是很好的。
And he has to agree with the Jews that say that yes, the law works well as their righteousness.
他就必须同意犹太人所声称的，就是律法那个义是正确的。
Or he has to choose to stick to his guns and say no, I still don't think the law works that way.
要不然就坚持他自己的那个立场，就是律法行不通。
And then by extension, he will be calling God unfaithful.
也可以引申到就是说指上帝不忠。
Quite a clever challenge, right?
这是一个很聪明的挑战。
Now there are two ways to solve this challenge.
有两种方法可以解决这个挑战。
The first way is to state that yes, the law works. It is not a broken toy.
第一个方法是说这个律法行得通，它不是一个坏了的玩具。
But it works in a way that is very different from how the Jews think it will work.
但它的运作方法跟犹太人所认为应该的运作方法不一样。
And I'll explain this at the very end of the sermon in my conclusion.
我会在讲到结束之前啊，再解释这个东西。
But in this quarrel that is recorded in the beginning in chapter 3, Paul has chosen to use another way.
但这个记载里的这个争论，保罗选择用了另一个方式来解决这个挑战。
And now we can see this is Paul's preemptive strike towards their first challenge.
我们现在看到这保罗的那个所谓先发制人的那个的方法。
So Paul first states their point, which is, what then if some did not believe? Does their belief nullify the faithfulness of God? Then he says,
okay.
你看 PowerPoint. He says, absolutely not. Let God be proven true, and every human being sure as a liar.As it is written, so that you will be justified in your words and will prevail when you are judged. Now, so what Paul did here was that he stuck on to his point that the law does not bring about work in bringing about righteousness.
在这里，保罗坚持他的那个立场，就是律法并不能带来义。
The reason it doesn't work is because everybody is under sin.
他之所以行不通，因为大家所有人都在罪恶之下。
But however, despite that, God manages to still retain His faithfulness. How? By judging.
而尽管如此，上帝还是通过审判保留那个他的信实。
And this is why, no matter you have man's sinfulness or disobedience, they do not nullify God's faithfulness.
这就是为什么人的罪和不服从都不能够废掉那个。上帝的信实。
Because for every sinfulness, disobedience, whatever, it will also result in an ensuing act of judgment that comes from God, and every judgment will demonstrate God's righteousness.
因为这些罪和不服从都会带来随后而来的那个审判，这审判都会彰显出上帝的那个义。
Righteousness, of course, means more than just justice or morality here. You must understand this.
义不单单是指那个正义或者是道德。
Righteousness also means God's act to restore a broken relationship, you know, so that his righteousness in the form of he is keeping to his covenantal promise to do something about the relationship.
这也是上帝恢复破碎的关系和他守约的那个行为。
And therefore, his righteousness is therefore tied to his faithfulness to the faithfulness, his faithfulness to his people.
因此他的义和他的信实，他对他子民的信实是挂钩的。
And Paul quotes from Psalm 51 to support his point.
保罗引用了诗篇第五十一篇来支持他的那个论点。
In Psalm 51, David confessed his sin and acknowledges that God is right and righteous. With what he said, he is justified in his act of judgment against his servant.
在诗篇第五十一篇，大卫在要求洁净他的罪之前，他先承认自己的罪，并承认上帝所说的话以及上帝所对他的审判是正确的。
And therefore, no unfaithfulness from the human beings, even from his anointed servant David, will cause God to be anything but blameless in his judgment.
人类的那个不义，不会导致审判的时候上帝被指责。
And so this is how Paul would counter argue the Jewish challenge.
这是保罗如何反驳那个犹太人的那个挑战。
But if we think about it, now Paul's counter argument about God's righteousness in judgment, that in itself can also be extended again and interpreted negatively again.
我们再仔细想一下，保罗这个反驳也可以被引申到，被扩展到有负面的那个解释。
And this is what the Jews then go on to do.
这就是犹太人接下来他们如何去对付这个。
And so this is what they say then in verse as in we can imply from verse 5 as Paul state their point. In verse 5 we read, but if our unrighteousness demonstrates the righteousness of God, then what shall we say? God who inflicts wrath, he is not unrighteous, is he? Now then Paul just wants to say that this is not my point, I'm just saying this in human terms. Then he states again the other point. He says, if by my lie the truth of God enhances his glory, oh, then why am I still judged as a sinner? Why not just say that let us just do evil so that good, or you know, God's righteousness can come out of it, as some will slander us, allege that we say. Now Paul here wants to, as we see his original intention, Paul wanted to preserve God's righteousness to the Jews despite their failure with the law.
保罗在这里要尽管犹太人对那个律法的那个失败，保罗也要尽量保留上帝的那个信实。
And he preserves God's faithfulness by arguing that God will demonstrate righteousness with every by judging every failure.
他是通过上帝审判每一次的那个不遵守来显出上帝的那个义。
But then his opponents twist it around to insinuate Paul is saying two very blasphemous things.
但他的对手歪曲这件事，他就影射保罗在这里这两件事上亵渎上帝。
The first is to say that, oh, Paul is accusing God of being unrighteous, actually.
第一，他就是说保罗被指控说上帝是不义的。
Because God, when he is judging, he is demonstrating his righteousness, right?
当上帝在审判的时候，他在彰显他的那个义。
But when he's doing this, yet he's very wrathful about it. He's very angry about it.
当他在做的时候，他非常的怒气。
How can he, you know, when he's demonstrating doing something good, demonstrating his righteousness, yet he can be so angry about it? Are you trying to say that God is very unrighteous in doing this?
他如何能够在显出他义的时候，又同时非常的生气呢？
Then maybe God should be thankful that, wow, there is so many sin, wow, so that allows me to judge so much, so that shows that I can be so righteous. God should be thankful instead, right?
Yeah, 也许上帝应该会要感激，因为有这么多的罪让我来审判，更能够显出他的义。
And second, there is also a second insinuation.
有第二个那个影射影射。
They are saying that Paul is actually promoting evil and sin.
就是说保罗促进邪恶和那个罪恶。
Since every sinful act now therefore encourages or enables God to demonstrate more righteousness by judging.
因为每一个罪恶的行为，就让上帝通过他审判能够显出他的义来。
Now I call this line of attack, this new quarrel that they have, to double down on stupid.
我把这个攻击叫做双重的愚蠢。
不是，就是在
非常笨。
Poker，你 double down， 不用这样讲。就是在加注，你已经笨了，你还加注在那个笨身上。
笨上加笨。
笨上加注啊。Now this is based to double down is to base on the poker metaphor.
这是基于一个扑克牌局的那个比喻。
Whereby you know that you are already on a losing bet.
你知道你已经在输了。
But you continue to double down on the bet.
但是你继续双倍的加注。
With a delusional hope that your opponent will be frightened off by your foolhardy posturing and then you know they will give up the fight.
你在那边妄想你的对手会因为你这样做而被吓跑。
Now the reason I call it stupid is because, let's think about this.
我把它称为是愚蠢的。
Because if you think about it, what exactly does it refute?
他所想反驳的是什么呢？
Are they trying to refute that God is righteous in His judgment?
他是要反驳上帝审判是义的吗？
Because honestly, even the Jews, they cannot deny Paul's point that God is righteous.God's righteousness is revealed in His judgment.
因为即使是犹太人也不能够否认保罗的论点，那就是上帝的公义在他的审判显露出来。
It is a fundamental theology that comes from the Psalms. It comes from the prophets.
这是诗篇和那个先知的那个基本神学。
So in the end, what they are doing doesn't really serve much as a counter argument.
他没有真正的能够当成一个相反的那个论点。
But rather, it comes off more as a very desperate form of slander against Paul.
比较像是在毁谤保罗。
Again, there are two ways to respond to this.
同样的有两种方式来回应。
The first way is to continue the argument and refute against their accusation.
第一种方式是继续的反驳他们的指控。
He says, "No, I'm not arguing this because Paul can go on to clarify that doing evil." To promote God's grace or righteousness, that is an invalid option. That means you cannot do that at all.
保罗可以继续的澄清说到，作恶对推动上帝的恩典的义，那个作恶根本不是一个选择。
Because as a Christian, you are bound to Christ.
因为身为一个基督徒，你和上帝的是紧紧的联系着的。
And therefore, your acts and your deeds must all be Christ-likeness.
所以你所做的事。你的生活必须有基督的那个样式。
And we will elaborate more on this when we come to Romans chapter 6.
我们在罗马书第六章的时候会再更加详细的说明。
Now there is another way to respond to this kind of crazy acts.
还有另外一个的方法来回应这个疯狂的行动。
I learned this because I've been observing young people.
我从很多年轻人身上学到。
First is to do a face palm to show utter disappointment.
首先就是把手掌盖住脸。
You can if you can add an eye roll before the face palm, you show maximum effect. Like this.
如果你能翻白在之前先翻个白眼，哇，那个效果将会非常的更加的好。
Then to just look at them with disgust and to just ignore them.
看着他们，然后摇头不管他们。
Now the Chinese have a saying, which is gossips will stop at the person who is discerning.
中国有一句俗话，流言止于智者。
And so these quarrels, when they start to, you know, really devolve to such level,
所以当这些争吵演变到一个地步的
，when they are just being argumentative for its own sake,
它演变到一个为自己而着想的那个争吵的时候
，then sometimes it's just better to let them just, you know.Self-destruct by their own looking ludicrous and ridiculous.
也许最好的方法就是让他们自己自毁在他们自己的那个荒谬。
But Paul here is slightly nicer than I.
但保罗比我 更加的好。
So he still respond to them.
他还是回应。
First, by restating the point that no, that's nonsense. God still remains righteous in his judgment.
首先他重申了上帝在他审判还是公义的。
He says, absolutely not. Otherwise, how will God judge the world?
断乎不是，若是这样，上帝怎么审判世界呢？
And then he states again that such slanderers, they will receive their own just deserts from God. Paul doesn't have to do it. God will judge them.
这些毁谤我们的人，说我们有这话，这等人定罪是该当的。
And so in verse 8, then he says it, say their condemnation is deserved.
他们的定罪是该当的。
That means God will judge them.
上帝将会审判他们。
Now that we have fully run through the entire quarrel,
现在我们看完了整个争吵。
Let me therefore now to return to the original topic.
让我们回到原来的那个话题。
Today we have to solve this problem. Why do we have this quarrel? What is the answer?
我们要解决为什么有这个争吵。
So the question is, do the Jews have an advantage?
那个问题就是犹太人是不是有那个优势？
Paul said yes.
保罗说有。
Because they have the law.
因为他们拥有那个律法。
Paul says no.
保罗也说没有。
Because they will sin like the Gentiles despite the law.
因为他们尽管有那个律法，他们也像外邦人一样犯罪。
So is it a yes or a no?
到底是有还是没有？
Now, even though we are not Jews, this topic is actually very important to us as well.
虽然我们不是犹太人，但这个课题对我们来说也是非常重要的。
Sometimes we ask the question.
有时我们会问，
Do we Christians have an advantage over non-Christians?
我们身为基督徒的，是不是对和那些非基督徒比起来，我们是不是有那个优势？
Some will say yes.
有些人会说有。
Because we have come to know Jesus Christ.
因为我们认识耶稣。
Some will say no.
有些可能会说没有。
Because we continue to sin just like any other non-Christian.
因为我们就像其他非基督徒一样继续的犯罪。
So the question is it a yes or is it a no?
这样到底是有还是没有呢？
Now, I believe that the answer actually lies in a proper understanding of the purpose of the law. Remember, I was talking about how does it work, does it not work? We need to understand the law properly.
我相信答案就在于我们要有一个正了对那个律法的目的有正确的了解。
Now, if you think of using the law for self-righteousness, then yes, that is futile.
如果你想用律法来自称为义的话，那将是徒劳的。
Just as how if you think that, oh, the title of a Christian will save you, that is also futile as well.
就好像你认为身为一个基督徒你将得救的话，那这样也是没有用的。
And even though, yes, we say that Jesus and the Jewish law, they are not entirely the same thing.
尽管我们说耶稣和那犹太人的律法不是完全同一件事。
But I believe that in terms of purpose,There are many similarities.
但是以目的而言，他们有很多相似的地方。
And so now we go on to answer the question, what exactly is this purpose?
这样我们要答这个目的到底是什么这个问题。
I believe part of the answer lies in verse 19 and 20.
我相信答案有一部分在第十九章。三章十九节和二十节。
Let me read this to you. Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, that means the Jews, so that every mouth be silenced and the whole world be held accountable to God. No one is declared righteous before him by the works of the law, for through the law comes the knowledge of sin. Now, whether it is the purpose of the law, or the purpose of Jesus,
不管是耶稣的目的或者是律法的目的，
The main purpose is to bring us back to God.
它主要的目的是要带我们回归到上帝。
Only when our relationship with God is restored through repentance, through obedience, only then there will be righteousness.
只有当我们与上帝的关系通过忏悔和那个完全的服从得到恢复的，那才有真那个义。
If we intend to use the law like an immunity badge against other like an immunity badge, just like how the Jews use it like an immunity badge.
如果我们要把那个律法当成是那种豁免的那个徽章，就好像犹太人利用律法一样。
Then that is the exact opposite of returning to God.
那和想回归到上帝那里是完全相反的。
Because you don't need God anymore. Now I have an immunity badge. I don't need God anymore.
你不再需要上帝了，因为你已经有那个豁免的那个徽章。
Just like how if you use your Christian title like an immunity badge.
就好像你用你基督徒的头衔当做把它当成是一个豁免徽章。
You don't need to go back to God. I'm safe already. I got this badge. I don't need God anymore.
你不需要再到上帝面前，你已经安全了，因为你有那徽章。
Instead, if you think about it, why does God reveal His laws? Why are His divine oracles revealed?
为什么上帝他的律法向你显现呢？
They are revealed so that we may humble ourselves.
因为我们才能够谦卑自己。
And be silent about our so-called self-righteousness.
并压制我们自己那个所谓自己称义。
Only when we recognize our own sinfulness.
只有当我们承认我们自己的罪。
Whether individually or as a people.
不管是个人或是一个群体。
Then the law brings us back to God.
律法将能够带我们回到上帝那里。
That's how it works.
这是它如何的运作。
And that is the display of God's grace to us. God gave us His law to show that His grace is for us to call us back to Him.
这个呼叫我们回到上帝那里，就是上帝的恩典的显示。
And so let us all heed His call.
让我们听从他的呼叫。
Whether individually or as a people.
不管是个人还是一个群体。
To once again let God be God in our lives.
让我们再次让上帝成为我们的上帝。
Let's pray.Our Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you because by your grace we are restored to you. Let us be silenced. Let us be humble. Let us go back to you always in repentance and also in obedience in our lives. All this we ask in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.